Galen was working in the field, repairing his fence after the heaving and shifting of the ground in the winter, stacking the big, flat rocks back into their places, while his big, shaggy aurochs looked at him quizzically.
"Sure," he told the big one he called Oren.
"Pretend you won't try to jump this soon as I turn my back." Galen found one of the boulders that had slipped and rolled from its place. He looked left and right to see if any of the neighboring farmers were within sight. They already wondered how he was able to do so much of the heavy work by himself. No one. He grabbed the boulder and, with his talent surging, picked it up and set it back in place.
"Not bad, huh?"
he said, slapping his hands free of dirt and mud.
Oren didn't seem impressed.
Galen liked being a farmer. Enough physical labor to keep him fit without the use of body magic. The imposition of order on the chaos of nature. The straight lines of ploughing. The simplicity of his neighbors, who didn't ask anything of him except a helping hand once in a while for a barn raising. He fixed a full league of fence before darkfall and walked home, dirty, sweaty, and happy. When he got home on the big oak out front, he found his daughter and his pregnant wife hanged. He dropped to his knees, screamed.
"Sereni, Alinea!"
The names came out as sobs.
"Shh, shh."
Guinevere held him in her bed, her arms around him, protective. She stroked his hair over his temples. When he woke in the morning, Guinevere was already up. She looked at him with what he swore was real desire in her eyes.
"Take me," she said. "You'll feel like yourself again afterward."
Truth was, he already felt better. He'd slept the memories off like a bad batch of mushrooms. But only a fool would turn down a woman as beautiful as Guinevere Kyrena. He pulled her into his arms. "There's only one kill left," Guinevere said. She was in her dressing gown, her cheeks still flushed from their lovemaking, but she was abruptly all business. Galen sat up in bed.
"Who?"
"Scarred Rabel, Galen. He's the only one who knows who you are. He's the only one who can guess what I'm doing. And he's been ordered to report to the Shinga tonight. I'm sorry to ask you to do this, but it's the only way."
"Arutero,"
a voice asked next to Galen's table. It was an old wet boy tradition, an oath of non-aggression for 1 hour. The inn was dark, smoky, with tobacco and riot weed, the kind of place where no one asked questions of strangers.
"Arutero," Galen affirmed.
On the table, wrapped in a sash, were all of his weapons. Ben Rabel set his sash full of weapons on the table next to Galen's. He sat.
"I didn't expect you to know Arutero, Galen. That's old. Real old."
"So am I."
"I doubt that. I bet I'm older than you are," Ben said.
How long we got?"
"I'm to report in 3 hours. So if you're going to try to kill me, you'll need to..."
"I'm not."
"Go on, Galen. Give me the dignity of honesty. I know Guinevere. I don't take it personal. Her back's to the wall. If you let me go, the other wet boys will..."
He trailed off. His eyebrows climbed.
"You already got the others?"
Galen nodded. Ben cursed.
"Even Jade and Saron?"
"They were tough," Ben whistled. Thinking he was being summoned, a serving man came over.
Two ales," Ben said.
The man left.
"If you don't kill me, Galen, the Shinga will order me to kill you. You'll only push your problems back a day or two, and he'll send the bashers and all the apprentice wet boys after you."
"I lied to you about that symbol you cut into your chest," Galen said. "I have seen it before. It's a pictogram. Literally, it means split-head. Moron. Idiot."
Ben's face darkened. Fingers twitched toward his sash.
Then he laughed ruefully.
I could tell you were lying the other day when you said you'd never seen it before. By the night angel's balls. Moron! And I prove it by cutting the fucking thing into my chest over and over for 15 years. No wonder the Friaki villagers wouldn't say what it meant. And you, you're an asshole for telling me.
Galen nodded, acknowledging the truth of it. Took a drink. Then I found this, Galen said. He put a pendant on the table. It was two horseshoe nails, one bent into a circle, the other piercing it most of the way. Ben's lost pendant, the very one that had been taken from him when he was put into the death games. A quick sneer, like, "You expect me to believe this? I told you what it looked like," was replaced by puzzlement. Ben flipped the pendant over, looking at the scores and scratches in the iron, matching them with memories over a decade old. He looked up sharply. His voice was stricken, awed.
"How did you possibly find—"
Galen lifted the pendant from Ben's limp hand. Suspended from the chain, the weight of nail flipped the symbol upside down. Instead of being split from the top down, the circle was split from the bottom up. Galen said, "You were a kid. You copied the symbol wrong, Ben. This symbol means split heart. The one who's claimed half of my heart. It means beloved, favorite. It's the kind of thing a Garathi war chief would give only to his firstborn son." He gave the pendant to the wide-eyed wet boy. Ben put the pendant on. He threw back his ale, cursed quietly. Then he held the pendant in his palm, holding it like that, picking it up from how it naturally hung. It was inverted. That was how he would have seen it last, when he was a boy, when it had been taken from him. That was how he'd gotten it wrong. He chuckled, delighted.
"You are something else, Galen. I'm still surprised you didn't put contact poison on the pendant. Every time I want to give up on you, Achilles, you do something like this."
"I memorized that book you gave me," Galen said.
"What book? The poisons book? How do you memorize the whole? How do you even read the—" "Oh, shit."
Ben looked at his empty flagon.
"You motherfucker. You took an oath. A roteiro."
"Doesn't apply. The poison I used isn't lethal. It'll just knock you out for a while. In a way, I'm upholding a roteiro, because now I don't have to kill you." Ben weaved in his seat.
"How? How'd you do it?"
"Paid someone in the kitchen to dose both. The way I mixed it, the poison's heavier than the ale, so it mixes only in the bottom of the flagon."
"But if I hadn't finished my ale—"
"You always finish your ale, Ben." Ben blinked slowly, holding himself up with his elbows.
"But if you don't kill me—"
Galen left a pile of coins on the table and nodded to the serving man. "I'll have to kill the Shinga. I know." Ben's head slumped to the table. Shirtless, Galen Starfire was arming. On the opposite side of the room, Guinevere Kyrena was dressing. He held up a light grey tunic mottled with black to his chest, looked at it in the mirror, rejected it for a black tunic mottled with grey. She held up a fiery red dress to her chest, looked at it in the mirror, rejected it for a sapphire blue that was lower cut. He strapped a pair of throwing knives to one muscular thigh. She pulled a silk stocking up one shapely thigh. He pulled a weapons harness around his shoulders, knotted it tight. She took a deep breath as a servant cinched her corset. He clipped his mask around his neck. She clipped a jeweled necklace around hers. He slid a knife into a wrist sheath. She spritzed perfume on her wrist. He looked at her in his mirror and found her looking at him in hers. He was an angel of death. She was a goddess. He bowed to the mirror. "Good luck tonight, my lady." She curtsied,
face grave. "Good luck, Master Starfire." She didn't say my lord, but then she wouldn't. He jumped out the window.
Galen jumped across a narrow alley, landed on the peak of a crumbling inn's roof, ran across the narrow beam like an acrobat, jumped and fell 6 paces onto a lower, flat roof.
"I am Sakoge, a lord of the shadows. I claim the shadows, that the shadow may not."
The clouds broke over the city, a giant crack of thunder.
Downpour. "I am the strong arm of deliverance. I am Shadow Strider. I am the scales of justice. I am he who guards unseen. I am Shadow Slayer. I am Nameless."
He jumped into one of the few standing sections of an ancient aqueduct. Quick footsteps in the rain puddling in that venerable stone waterway leapt. Below, a rich carriage pulled by 4 horses was rattling through the streets.
"The befouled shall not go unpunished."
Landed on a mouldering thatch roof, had to scramble on 4s to keep from slipping off as the stuff tore apart.
"My way is hard, but I serve unbroken. In ignobility, nobility. In shame, honor. In darkness, light. I will do justice and love mercy."
The man in the carriage was one of the 9, the Cenarian Sakoge's master of coin, Count Rimbold Drake. Brilliant young man, perceptive, but not ambitious. He'd stumbled into his position on the 9 by his sheer competence. Guinevere didn't believe he cared who was the Shinga, so this was mercy. Galen jumped across the street, directly above the carriage. He flipped and whipped a knife downward at incredible speed. The blade punched through the carriage's roof. It quivered in the carriage seat, between Count Drake's legs. Count Drake gaped at the hole in the carriage roof, dribbling rain. The dagger was 1 inch from his groin. There was a note tied around the dagger's handle. The Count took the note. The words were written in a tight, angular hand. "Not amiss."